I have some scriptures I'd like to share. I'm not up here because I feel ready, but I know the Lord gave me some thoughts, and I just didn't feel ready right now, but I pray that the Lord will help me. I've been thinking about this thought of being strangers and pilgrims here on earth. Many times when we cross the border from Juarez, Mexico into the United States, they ask us, are you a U.S. citizen, U.S. resident? And we have to say U.S. citizen or U.S. resident. And many times, instead of me talking to them in Spanish, which I can speak, I speak in the language of the United States. I say, I am a U.S. resident. And they ask me questions, and I talk to them in my first language, English. Because if I start talking to them in Spanish, they'll confuse me for being a Mexican. And so I'm thankful that Brother Marty was mentioning that many times we're in the world and we don't have to say, I'm a Christian, we don't have to say I'm a pastor, but they can see by the language that we are speaking. And I'm not speaking about whether we're speaking English or Spanish, but by the way our spirit gives us away whose we are and whose we are not. There was one time some sister missionaries that were preaching in Brazil, and they were in a restaurant and they saw a man walk in, and the man kind of walked like this, and he had a cowboy hat on, and then he sat down, and they looked at him and says, we know where he's from. I think we know where he's from. And they looked in over there and said, hello, and he goes, hi, where are y'all from? And immediately when he said that, they knew where he was from. He was a Texan. He was from Texas. And how did they recognize him? Well, they had been in Texas, and they knew how the Texans acted, how they dressed, how they spoke, and even how they walked, most of them. And isn't that what we all want? You know, don't we all get tired of this, sometimes called Christianese, this Christianese talk? There's a lot of talk, and we get a lot of people like that in our services in Mexico. And I'm not condemning them, because maybe that's all they know is to talk a lot and make a lot of promises. But I want to be like that Texan that walked into that restaurant. He didn't have to say, I'm a Texan. His walk, his talk, and his dress showed whose he was. And I appreciate so much this verse in Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not knowing, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. I like that word, confessed. That they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We know that we have to confess. Jesus said that whosoever does not confess me before men, neither will I confess him before my Father which is in heaven. But I think we would all agree that confession is more than saying it with our mouth. I could say that I have a degree. And, you know, I read a book about a man that he would jump around to different jobs. One time he would be a pilot, another time he'd be a surgeon, another time he'd be a school teacher, and he didn't have any of the credentials. He would say that he was, and he had false credentials, and he played the part well, but when it came to actually flying the plane, he would let his co-pilot fly it. When it came to doing the actual surgeries, he would let the assistant nurse do the intricate work because he didn't know how to do it. And it's not so much saying that we are, but it's when it all comes through it, how do we perform that spiritual surgery of being delicate with those that are condemning us or speaking evil of us, lying about us? How we conduct yourself through it all says, gives a confession of who we are. Amen. Recently we had a hard happening there in Juarez, Mexico. There's a man that was with us 4 years ago for about 8 months and his family, and they disappeared. They had been loaned a home, and the copper lines disappeared and furniture disappeared in that home, and they left. They came to us saying that they were being accused of having stolen. We believed them, and this woman came angry to the house of God of the chapel and accused us of hiding them and of being a part of it. And I told them, I have nothing. We're just preaching, and they came, and now they're gone. And anyway, he came back again just recently, having disappeared without any word. And Came back again, and we gave him another chance. And he said his wife was coming soon. And anyway, he started, like, did well for a while, and then started, like, distancing himself away, like he was hiding something. And sure enough, somebody else showed up to the chapel recently. And they said, we're looking for such and such. Oh, he's not here today, I said. Well, they said, well, we don't want to accuse him of anything, but he says he fixed cell phones, and we gave him a laptop and cell phones and so forth, and he hasn't responded in 2 weeks. I said, oh, he didn't tell me that, I said. And I said, well, I know where you're staying. I took him there, expecting for them to have a nice cordial visit. Well, this man that went to the chapel, he got upset with him. And this man that went to the chapel, he was my mechanic, and he claims to be a Christian. And when he saw him, I called him out of the room where he was, and I talked to him, and I said, these people came to see you. They're wondering about the cell phones and so forth. And he kind of was hesitating, and the man walked across the street and was calling somebody. I feared he was calling the police. Shortly, he walked across the street, this man that was saying he's a Christian, that's a mechanic, and he was trying to hit this other man that's coming to our services recently. And right there, he confessed what, saints? That he's not a Christian. A Christian would not call the police. I wouldn't. I pray to God. Let God's wrath take care of it, right? Doesn't the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Leave it in his hands. Pray about it. He called the police, and then he tried to hit him. Anyway, I intervened, and I just said, this man has done nothing. He's fixing the cell phones. He said he was going to return them. There's no proof. And I left because they're like six federales showed up, six or eight policemen. And we just got in the van and left. And I felt so bad about it all. I didn't plan it to be that way. But it says right there clearly, praise the Lord, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims. Are you a stranger to a spirit of getting even? Are you a stranger to a spirit of paying them back? Jesus said, if your enemy smites you on the right cheek, what does it say? Turn the other. Pray for those that despitefully use you, etc., etc. We confess who we are when we get in those very intricate, like that surgeon, situations where we don't know how to handle it. And, oh, I want to confess by my spirit, by my walk, by my talk, by the way that I think, and by my dress, whose I am. Amen. They confessed plainly that they were pilgrims and strangers here on earth. And I love to think about the pilgrims that first came. That word there doesn't mean that, but we call those, they came in the Mayflower. I was going to look up the dates and all that, so I don't feel ready. What day was it that they came over in the Mayflower? 1620. Is that correct? They came across in 1620. How were they dressed and how did they act? All we have to do is look at the laws of the United States that our present administrators are trying to change and have changed, tweaking them and reinterpreting them and so forth. The way they acted and dressed proved that they were Christians. They left another country to come here because they wanted freedom of religion. They wanted freedom of expression of how to worship the Lord. And we look at them then and we look at the United States people now. They look nothing like them. They act nothing like them. There's a few, yes, I guess you would call this a Bible Belt. You know, there are a few that still are standing up for some standards, but a lot of it is Christian ease. They have the talk, but they don't have the walk. And may the Lord help us to not just have the talk. We want to have the talk too. I want to talk like a Christian, like a real Christian. But above that, I want my actions to prove, my word and actions prove to all that I'm yours, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says we're in Hebrews 11, verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly. Oh, may we declare plainly that we're not from this earth, saints. They declare plainly. There's no doubt. There's no gray area. Are they or maybe they're not? I thought they were, but look what they're doing. Maybe they're not. Oh, may the Lord help us. They declare plainly, praise the Lord, that they seek a better country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, we came out of the world, saints. We don't want to go back to television, cursing, getting even, worldliness, parties, talking like the friends at school, talking like our coworkers as adults, joining in and laughing with them. There's nothing wrong with laughing, but I'm talking about, what are you laughing about? May the Lord help us. But now they desire a better country. Oh, we desire a better country, don't we? We sing about it in the beautiful hymns of the Church of God. Oh, that beautiful place that awaits us over there. There is a city. Praise the Lord. Amen. But now they desire. Do you desire that? I do. I don't desire to get tangled up in the affairs of this world more than what I have to. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I was thinking of certain things that when I was young, I didn't have the privilege that some of you have of being raised among the saints, God's people. I was not even raised in the church that we left. Some of you know we came out of a holiness group that even sell everything to go into the ministry. We heard about selling all and not getting married and all that. I did it all for 10 years. I was one of those ministers. I left it all. And that's when I was sanctified at age 19. I have no doubt that I was. I didn't want to do it, but when I got up from praying and crying, I knew that I had given everything up, and it didn't matter to me whether I sold my car, got rid of my job, never had a wife, never had children, because that's what it took. That's what they teach. But what am I trying to say is that if we are truly pilgrims and strangers here on earth, we won't want to get tangled up in this world. And I wasn't raised that way. I was raised going to dances. I didn't dance. I was a little child. They took me to dances. We played cards and ate the cake. I have several family members that are, they have bands and they play music. They would practice in my home. Weekends would be boom, 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 the walls like that. We had television. We had worldly music. We had the worldly talk. My dad was a part of the mafia. He was a drug lord. He sold drugs. I found marijuana on top of the roof drying, cocaine, I think, in the grill outside. And one time I came home and they were piling up bundles of money and foil to put them in the freezer, and I don't know what kind of deal they were doing. And people would come knocking out times at the door asking for Güero, my dad, whose name was Tony. Antonio, I was named after him, but Tony in English. And I grew up around that. But I thank the Lord that at age 8 I cried out to him, having been raised in the Catholic Church in ignorance. At age 11 I made a 90-year-old black man, as I've testified, and I began to, the Lord helped me to be born from above. Amen. We all know what it says in the Word of God in John, the Gospel of John. Like I said, I don't feel prepared today. May the Lord help us. Jesus said in John 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It says, being born of the Spirit, being born from above. And, you know, if we really have been born again and Jesus dwells in us, and then we have gone on to that second work of sanctification and we have the Holy Spirit, we're not of this earth. We've been born again, born from another world. We become partakers of his divine nature. And if we are born again and we're not of this world, when we're born into this world with human nature. But when we're born again of the water, of the Word of God, and of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And if we're born again, everybody's going to know it. And there's going to be proof in how we act. I'd like to give a little bit of my testimony. Growing up, I grew up with the television. And really, I could say it was like an addiction, like smoking and like doing drugs or alcohol to me. I did not want to give it up. Nobody told me I had to give it up, really. The 90-year-old black man that I met, he didn't have a television, a computer, or newspapers or magazines or a radio in his home. That was his conviction. And it came out so clearly that he was not of this world. He was not of this world in no way. And that spoke to me. And when I'd go home and I watched television growing up at age 11 when I met him, 11, 12, 13, 14, I'd sit there, and in the beginning it didn't really bother me, but after a while, after having given my life to the Lord, I would hear the way they were talking. I saw what they were doing. They were getting vengeance on their enemies, violence. You know that it says in the book of Genesis that God saw the violence, that he was going to destroy the world because of the violence that was there. And there I was watching violence on TV, amongst many other things. And those days, thank the Lord, that adultery and fornication wasn't as prevalent and as defined in those movies that I watched. It was insinuated and parts were seen, but nothing like today. And I was watching that. And the Holy Spirit began to deal with me and tell me, you're feeding something that is not, you're feeding the flesh, you're not feeding that man from another world. That pilgrim and stranger, you're not feeding him, you're starving him, and you're feeding the one that's of this world. And it started bothering me. And again, I have to say, no minister came into my home and said, get rid of the TV. I couldn't. It was mine. It was my parents'. But I couldn't get rid of it. So what I did is after the Lord convicted me, I stopped watching. I stopped turning it on. We had a bar, and we'd sit like this to watch it. I sat the opposite of the bar like this and eat my food. And you can imagine what I looked like to my family. I thought, what is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with him? He's strange. Why is he changing like this? Well, we know why. I was declaring plainly that I didn't want to be a part of this world. Was I tempted? Did I quit just like that? No. I was young. I understand how you young teachers feel with the cell phones now, where you can now get TV on it and watch videos, YouTube, and who knows what else on there, which thankfully I'm not involved in. I'm not condemning any of you, but I'm telling you, it was TV then, maybe it's cell phone now. Oh, if you are a pilgrim and a stranger, don't feed that man that's going to rot in the grave. Feed and strengthen that is from above, from another world. Amen. Get ready for that new world. You know this world is going to be burned up, including your cell phone? It's going to melt. But you know, plan for the new world. There's going to be a new world. A real, it says it. I'm going to read about that in a little bit. We want to prepare for the new world, not for this world. If this world is not our home, why are we so attached to it? And I know you young people are not here. I'm sure you're not. But maybe you're tempted. Maybe you're tempted to slide into the place of, instead of reading the Bible, maybe you're not reading the Bible anymore. You're just playing around with your cell phone. I have a cell phone, by the way, and I text, okay? I'm not condemning anybody, but I'm not of this world. I use it to send messages about God. Those of you that get my texts, you know what I send you. It's not gossip. I'm sending you the Word of God in texts. Amen. If you're using it that way, praise the Lord. Well, I wanted to give an example of growing up besides the television. Well, I won't go on with that. When I turned age 17, well, younger, I decided when I moved out, I would not have a television. Somewhere around there, 18, 19, I started buying a mobile home. I became a manager at McDonald's, started washing dishes, and went up to manager. And I started buying an old mobile home. It looked really nice, furnished. And that's when I said, I'm not going to have a TV, and I didn't. My brother came to visit me, and he said, this is kind of boring here. He said, you know, I can buy you a real cheap TV. I said, no. I said, no, I don't want a TV. This is why. And he says, you know why? He says, well, yeah, I do know why. Just was wondering, testing you, see what you do. And I said, yeah, no, I don't want a television, Johnny. And I can say from age 17, I'm going to be 50 soon, very soon. I've never brought a TV into my home, into my car, on my wristwatch, attached to my car. You can do them now. I've seen some. I don't know how you, I guess it comes in the car already. I've seen people in line from Juarez, Mexico watching TV in their car. I don't know if it's a computer or what, but it's there. Oh, may the Lord help us. I remember when I was alone, having left the ministry of the church that we left, I was all alone for 3 years, and I was tempted one time to get a television, rent it. I said, I'll just rent it, nobody will find out. The flesh was beginning to get strong in me. I drove up to the rental place to rent the TV. I'm not going to tell you what I was going to watch in it. And I could not go in. I said, I go in and I talk to that person's going to ask me a question and I'm going to invite him to the services. They're coming to the service and they're going to say, oh, remember, we met him at Rent-A-Center, but renting a television. You know? I said, oh, Lord, help me. And I never did it. I never have. And may the Lord help me to never do it. I remember in high school when I was going to graduate, I was invited by three young women, not boasting, okay, I'm just telling the facts, three young women to go to the prom. I don't know what they liked about me. Maybe my personality. Maybe they saw that it was godly and they wanted something like that. They all invited me in different ways. One hinted, one directly asked me. One said, what are you doing that night? Well, you get the hint. To one, I kind of changed the subject and I said I couldn't go. To the one said I don't go to dance. To the one said that it's my conviction not to go to proms. And so I didn't go. I was not raised. My mom and dad were not of the Church of God. They were not Christian. But I had the conviction. I'm not of this world. I was declaring plainly that I said, why would I leave going with my parents and now start going on my own? You know, it's going to have to come down to conviction of your own, young people. That's If you don't have ever had that own personal conviction just because your mom and dad told you, when you get under pressure, out of embarrassment, you might even say yes and do it. Oh, may you do business with the Lord, young people. Even those of us that are older, they might be kind of backtracking. May the Lord help us. The class ring. Everybody was buying the class ring. And I could afford the class ring because I was working at McDonald's. And yeah, big bucks. $5.25 an hour, I think it was at that time. And so, but I could have afforded it. And, you know, I didn't buy it. I saw the catalog and all the rings, and I saw everybody showing the rings. And I bought me a little keychain that said class of, I think I was 86, no, 80, 85. I forgot what year I graduated. Class of 1985. And I still have it hung in my wall. I never wore that ring. May the Lord help us. You know, it's a desire of all of us to be like this world when we are not strong in the Lord, when we have not fully surrendered to the Lord. But when we fully surrender to the Lord, the rings don't matter, the TV doesn't matter anymore. Yes, we're not going to tell you that you're not tempted. We're going to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in all points, even as we are. All points. If there would have been a TV, he would have been tempted by the TV too, obviously. Maybe he was tempted to go to the theater, those acting theaters that they had in those days, real life theaters. But he didn't indulge his flesh. Amen? Football games and baseball games and basketball games. You know that I was not raised, again, I'll mention it, I was not raised in a godly home. But I had a 90-year-old black man, my neighbor across the street, that was an example to me. His walk and his talk, his actions and his dress proved that he was a real Christian. He didn't have the light that we have, but he had light. And it was gleaming brightly all around, a 90-year-old black man. He was my example. And he gave his testimony of how he was one of the main pitchers in baseball team. And he left it after he came to the truth that he had. He let go of it. And he told that over and over, and that touched me. I never did join basketball, football, or baseball, organized sports in school. I'm not boasting. I'm just letting you know that if I had of, it might have led me into drugs. I might have ended up getting somebody pregnant at a young age. You understand what I'm saying? Because they party and they drink and they live a lifestyle that is not according to godliness. Am I saying you can't play baseball, basketball, football? No. I never really liked football too much. I like throwing a ball, but I like playing basketball and baseball and kickball and all those things, but I never did do it in school organized because I'm not of this world. And I see many adults, they're watching the television and they're worshiping and adoring those idols. Really, it's they live and breathe it, and they're declaring plainly that they are of this world. May we declare plainly by our actions and words that we are not of this world, that we're pilgrims and strangers. I never went to a wild party. I'll say it again. I was not raised by godly parents. My dad had the wild parties right in front of my house and in my home, drinking and cursing, and I never went to a wild party. Where did that come from? Was I just born that way? No. Not naturally. Yes, I was born that way, but I was born again that way. I was born from above, and may the Lord help us to be born from above. One time I entered without realizing with a buddy of mine, a friend of mine that would drink without me, but there were no other saints there, so he was my friend, and he respected how I lived, and he didn't do anything that I didn't do when he was with me, and I appreciate that. It helped me through my high school years, but one time he went to, some friends invited him somewhere, and I went into this home with them, and they were having a party. First time I ever saw that. I went in, and I saw him acting crazy and talking strange, and I walked right out. I said, oh, Lord, I feel so bad. I said, Lord, forgive me for going in there. I didn't know it was a party. And I walked right out. How can you do that? I was maybe 16 years old. How can you do that? How can you have the courage to walk out? Born again, not born in this country. A pilgrim and a stranger. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to not be a part of this world. We are not a part of this world if we've been born again. It says in John 15, verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, Ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If he were of the world would love his own. Have you heard the life of the party? The center of the party? I'm sure that none of you are like that. But there are some that are. If you are loved of the world, appreciated of the world, and they want to be around you all the time, and you're joining in with them, something's wrong. Now, there are some that want to be with us because they feel the Spirit of the Lord, and that's okay. But if they want to be around you because you're like them, may the Lord help us to surrender all to Him. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, if we are the world is going to love us. Amen? Ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. He has chosen us out of the world. How do we live? In school, in our workplace, among our neighbors? Would they say we're part of the world? Or would they say, oh no, they're different. They're not a part of this world. You know, I look out among you and I say, I know that you're different. You're not part of this world. Do you want to be a part of this world? I don't. I live in this world, but I'm not of it. I've been born from above. I'm born of the Spirit and born in the Word of God. Thank the Lord. 17:14, Jesus in his prayer said, John 17:14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Notice that I gave them the word, and the world has hated them. If we really are talking to our friends, relatives about the things of the Lord, they're going to hate us. They're going to hate us. Yes, there are going to be those few that are looking, either tired of this world, and they might be saved, yes. But the majority of the world is going to hate us. So why are we trying to gain the approval of the world? Why are we trying to override what Jesus said? We shouldn't be. The world is going to hate us. They're going to hate our opinions. They're going to hate our standards. And thank the Lord that they do. Because that shows that the Spirit of Christ rests upon us. Jesus said, when all men speak, beware when men speak good of you, I think he said, beware, take heed. Now, yes, there are going to be those few that are going to say, I appreciate your standard, but when it gets down to it, they're going to say, I don't agree with you. I don't like the way you live. I hate the way you live. And thank the Lord that they do. Do we hate the way we live? I don't. Praise the Lord. I don't have a television, I don't have worldly music, and I put the ministers preaching full blast, the whole block hears it. I put the saints singing, and I rejoice while I'm out in my garden work. Amen? Do you do that? Or are you ashamed of your neighbors might hear? They'll walk by and they'll go like, one time I mentioned before, I was gardening and I had Brother Harlan Searle singing full blast, and you could hear him a block away. And this woman was going like this. Kept on walking here, and she'd go this way. And then finally, she came home, and she said, oh, I thought those were angels, he said, singing. I said, oh, that's Brother Harlan Sorrell. Oh, you don't know who he is. I said, but he's singing in four different parts. I said, oh, he sounds so beautiful, she said. I know where that was coming from. I said, that's what we sing in our church. She'd go, oh, beautiful, she said. And then she went back home. Praise the Lord. Pilgrims and strangers in this world. In Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Yes. Might as well say they're abstain from television, right? Because on television you see fleshly lusts. They're jumping from one bed to the other. So-and-so divorces so-and-so. Or they don't even divorce. They cheat on one another. Isn't that fleshly lusts? Soap operas. The more violence and the more nudity now, may the Lord help us. Abstain. I beseech you as strangers, abstain. You know, when you visit a foreign country, the teaching is abstain from eating foods on the streets and drinking their water. Why? Because your system can't handle it. You can get sick. Amen? The same principle applies to us spiritually. We abstain from those spiritual things that could enter our heart, our life, our soul, our spirit, and contaminate it. We can get sick spiritually, get some kind of spiritual disease, and then die spiritually. Abstain. It's for your own safety. I've heard some people that have just brushed their teeth with the water and forgotten, and they've swallowed that and gotten sick from that. From countries where they have bugs in the water and amoebas, and maybe not amoebas, but little microbes floating around in the water, and you eat them and they make you sick because your body is not used to it. It didn't build up an immunity to that. You understand what I'm saying? May we not be drinking from the fountain of this world. Walt Disney. Oh, Walt Disney's for kids. No, Walt Disney makes adults movies. They're family movies. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? The Lord help us. May you sanctify your cell phone. Amen? Oh, I don't have a TV. Oh, yeah, but there you are poking it watching the same thing you could watch on TV on your cell phone. Is Brother Tony saying this? Is Brother Tony saying this to condemn you? No, I love you. I don't want to see you get that illness spiritually and die in this foreign country that you are visiting. Amen? Praise the Lord. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers. I'm thankful that I'm a stranger to the actress. And, well, I might not be a stranger to her because I do read Time Magazine, okay? You do have to. We are in this world, but I don't. Some of the actors, I've never seen them act on television. I know who they are, some of them. Even some of them that were acting when I was younger. But that's not where my focus is at. I'm not interested in that. I'm not ignorant of it, is what I'm trying to say. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. It says it all right there, doesn't it? If we're trying to win and be in heaven, by the grace of the Lord, by the blood of Jesus, by the word of our testimony, and because we love not our lives unto death, if we're trying to win this war, why would we bring enemies against us and put them right in our home against us? Do you understand what I'm saying? In our car, in the cell phone. I will say something here that I warned a young minister. I shouldn't have said that word, but I said it already. My Lord help me. I warned somebody there in Juarez, Mexico, with his cell phone to be careful. And I mentioned a lot about pornography. And yeah, he assured me that there was nothing involved in that. But this certain minister, I don't know what happened, but he started buying all kinds of later model cell phones and got into Facebook and other things, which I know can be used for good things. Okay, I'm not condemning anybody, but be careful. You're a stranger and you're a pilgrim. I don't know if this jumps out at you, the porn sites. And he said that he was at work and somebody was watching something, and there were, I guess it was one of those big tablet things, and they were watching porn, and he got a glimpse of it. And just by staying there looking long enough, he was tempted to go enter that into his computer. And he started looking at that, and pretty soon he did other things that I cannot mention here. You know, it's real what we're telling you. It's real what we're telling you, saints. If you have that struggle right now, young man, young woman, seek your pastor, seek someone that you can confide in, and confess it to them, and let them know that you need help. Don't continue that way, because you're watching it now, but you'll want to act it out later on. And the Bible says that adulterers and fornicators, what? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, may the Lord help us. If you're the kind that can't deal with it, get rid of your, disconnect your cell phone if you get the internet. Disconnect it. Please disconnect it. Do yourself a favor and don't let that thing war against your soul. Your cell phone is not going to save you. Your cell phone did not go to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for you. Jesus did. He deserves your honor, your attention, your affection, your love, your time, your addiction. It tells in the word that they were, that those of Achaia, I think it says they were addicted to the ministry of the saints or something like that. Maybe we're addicted to serving in God's kingdom and not serving the flesh. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain. What does abstain mean? Withdraw from it. Withhold yourself from it. Fast from it. Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, here conversation means your way of living, honest among The Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil, speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, or by the way that you live, amen, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Praise the Lord. It says in 1 Peter 3, verse 2, 1 Peter 3, 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of your life, of our life, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. I can say that if you're raised this way, you might never start, but if you were raised like I was, there comes a time when you have to stop what you're doing. And I was raised going to dances and going to weddings, and they had live bands and the cake and the dancing and the music and the drinking and everything. I remember when I gave my life to Lord young, I was, I think, maybe somewhere around 13 or 14. My mom and dad were going to go to Mexico to a family wedding, and I knew what was going to be happening there. And I told him I did not want to go. He said, how did you have the courage, Brother Tony, at age 14 to say you're not going to go? You're not your boss to say you're going to stay home. Well, I did. I told him I'm not going to go. I had built up respect to my mom and dad by how I was living, that when I said I'm not going to go, they respected me and they let me stay at home for a week alone. I was just 14. And from then on, I set that standard that I was not going to go to dances, and they knew it. Have you done that in your life? If you're asked tonight by this gorgeous, luscious-looking young woman to go to a dance, what are you going to do? Or you, if you are invited by a hunk young woman to go to the dance tonight, what are you going to do? Is it established in your heart that you are not, that you're a pilgrim and a stranger? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to establish it right now. You have to settle it right now. Settle it in your heart that you're going to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against your heart. May the Lord help us. Amen. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. The opposite. Living to the flesh, the lust of men, or to the will of God. We who are from another, you know, our loyalty in the United States, if we don't bend to a certain extent to the rules of the United States, what happens? We can go to prison, right? Our loyalty is to the United States. We have to abide by the rules of the United States, right? If we were under another king, we'd have to abide by the rules of that king in as much as it would not conflict with our convictions with the Lord, right? And if you are from heaven, who is your king? Jesus. Didn't he say that he left his commandments? He left his commandments, and those are the commands that we are to be keeping. Not your friend that tells you, young woman, oh, you would look better with your hair trimmed and permed. Are you going to obey her commandment? Are you going to try to please her? Or are you going to obey the word of God? This says in 1 Corinthians 11, it is a glory for a woman to let her hair grow. In English, it says, it's a glory for a woman to have long hair. In Spanish, it says, it's a glory for a woman to allow her hair to grow. If you're cutting it, you're not allowing it to grow. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. We are under his kingdom. We're subject to him. If we are residents of heaven, we are subject to him. I'm happy to see some of you that are subject to him, young women. Amen. You think we don't notice it? We notice it. Amen. We notice those loose, uncut ends. We notice it. And we appreciate that you've decided not to cut your hair. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2:19. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. it's wonderful to not be a stranger to God, to not be a foreigner. Amen. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up and holy unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. No more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Have you ever seen somebody come in into a into a store or something? You see the way they're dressed and you know that they're from China, or maybe that they're from Peru. Those of you that have studied different countries, you know where they're from by the way they're dressed, right? They come to this country, but they haven't been watered down and changed and conformed to this country. They just have come, and you can tell they're not from this country, can't you? Many times you might not know what country they're from, but you know that they're not from this country. They talk differently, they act differently, they dress differently, and you know they're a pilgrim and stranger. Well, you know, when we receive the Holy Spirit, like we're hearing today, we're going to act differently, talk differently, and dress differently. You might wonder, why does mom and dad ask me to dress like this from a young child? I don't understand it. Well, if you don't, study in the Word of God to see why you dress that way. Amen? Study the Word of God. There's the word modesty. There's the word nakedness in the Bible. God teaches against nakedness. The more we uncover our body, the more nakedness we're showing. I'm not going to go into that subject. Some people don't like it. I'm just leave it at that. The more you uncover your body, parts of your body, the more you're showing of your body. I think it's safer for us to cover more of it up. Don't you agree? Amen. Especially if it's going to tempt the young man. Right here in the front. Lengths of what you're showing down there. Amen. And I appreciate you young women. I want to say that. Are you hearing me? I look at you and I go, praise the Lord that in this year, 2016, there's young women and young men that are still modest. I want to commend you, young men and young women. You might think nobody cares about your long uncut hair, about your modest dress. My wife and I do care, and we see it. And we're thankful that you're still that way, because we might have seen you and said, oh, this isn't the church of God. They're like the world. Let's go. We came in here and we saw some years back those that were younger like you are now. And I said, this is the church of God. That wasn't just that. There were everything. Where are y'all from? Everything was there, amen? Showing that you are from God's kingdom, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. John, the Epistle of John, the book right before Revelation. Praise the Lord. The Epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. Are you choking on that one? I really love my cell phone. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But Brother Tony, a taco and a hamburger is from the world. Yes. But this is talking about not loving the system of this world. When we talk about the television or the cell phone, I'm not talking about the shell. I'm talking about what are you watching in it? What are you spending your time in front of? There's nothing wrong if you text your next door neighbor and saying, I want to invite you to a meeting, a 10-day meeting. That would be good for you to do that. But if you text your next door neighbor saying, you know what, my parents are going to be out of town, can you take me to that movie with you tonight? There would be something wrong with it, right? Amen? Amen. We're talking about what are we spending our time on? Love not the world. Love not the way the world acts. Love not the way the world plucks out their eyebrows to make them look more sexier and appealing. Love not that. You be happy with what God gave you. Amen? Amen? May the Lord help us. Are we trying to look as much as we can make-upped without having the makeup on? May the Lord help us. Maybe we want to look like God made us. Yes, comb yourself. Clean your face. Dress up, iron your clothes, and get something that looks nice and appropriate for you. But I'm so thankful you're not trying to be like the world, young women. I appreciate your modesty. I look at you and I go, praise the Lord that there's still young, modest women today. Amen. Thank the Lord. And young, modest men too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't see anybody here trying to show their muscles, you young men. Praise the Lord. You have them covered up. You might be distracting the message right now by your muscles. You know, but thank the Lord they're covered up. Amen? Praise the Lord. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, everything, saints. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, what you see with your eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to abide forever. I want to live on forever, forever in heaven, and now forever, forever in hell. I want to abide forever in the presence of God, and I know you do too. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. I remember being younger. I love going to the carnivals. Oh, Brother Tony, you mean you don't believe in going to carnivals? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if you go to a carnival, what atmosphere is there? Disney World, what atmosphere is there? Pleasure and self-seeking. Listen to what people are saying around there. They're cursing. They're only thinking about, they're pushing and they're not thinking about anybody else but the flesh. There's something wrong with swinging on a slide, Brother Tony, or no, a swing, no. But it can go a little bit further than that. What atmosphere is it that you want to be in? Do you want to be in the atmosphere of a carnival where they're betting and they have here a woman with the head of a turtle and over here a strange things? Do we as God's people want to be in those places? We sometimes go in Juarez, Mexico to these open parks where they have, it looks like a carnival, and we preach there and we teach the word of God there. Now, I have nothing against a little kid getting maybe on a little horse and riding up and down. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying where you're going, is it leaning towards the things of God or is it leaning to the world? It tells us right here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. May the Lord help us to not be wasting our money on things when there are missionaries that need that money and here you're wasting it on something that is so worldly and so vain. May the Lord help us. Nehemiah chapter 13. Praise the Lord. It's right after Ezra, if that helps you. Chronicles, Ezra, then Nehemiah. Nehemiah 13, verse 24. And their children, speaking about the children of Israel, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, these pagan gods of that time, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them. The servant of God contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair. This minister was getting to town here. And made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. So 27. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives, etc.? Verse 30. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, etc. One of the reasons that, and I'm glad that I obeyed this teaching in the New Testament that says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's speaking about not being yoked to the world, period, in any way, but it also includes marriage. And I'm not going to speak about that right now, but spiritually speaking, what language are we speaking? Are we speaking the spiritual language of heaven? Whereas if Peter came from the past, or John the apostle came from the past and sat down by our side, would our spirits mesh? Or would they call us worldly and blasphemous? And Lord help us. What speech are we speaking? Like I was mentioning, when I come across from Mexico into the United States, my first language was Spanish and then I learned English. My dominant language is English, believe it or not. But I speak good Spanish. And I try not to speak in front of the authorities too much Spanish because they confuse me for being a Mexican. And you know, there are Christians like that. There are believers like that, where they speak both languages. When they're in the service and they're around the saints, they'll put on their modest clothing and take off their ring or their little chain that they put on when they go to school, wrap off the lipstick. But when they're in the world, They speak their language. Do you understand what I'm saying? May the Lord help us. And why were these kids speaking their language? Because these men, God's servants, married strange women. And those strange women spoke another language, and not the Jewish language. And the dominating factor in that home was the woman. Who are you allowing to dominate you today? Your school friends? Your family members? Even those that are in the services that are half-hearted? And you're trying to be wholehearted? Are you allowing that half-hearted service, that double-hearted service, to affect you? Oh, I hope not. I hope, may you stand firm and be an example. May you be the leader to that young boy or girl that you're with that is half-hearted, and you might want to speak their language when you're around them. You keep on speaking the language of God, maybe you'll pull them over to this side. Amen? May the Lord help us, Lord. Saints, may the Lord help us. They spake half in the speech of Ashdod. Does God want half of our heart? No, He wants all of our heart. May we speak 100% the language of heaven. May we 100% speak, may our spirit speak the language of heaven. May our actions be speaking the language of heaven. May our dress and our mannerism be speaking the language of heaven. Amen. One last verse, two last verses. Revelation 21, we were talking about, if we're not residents of this planet, well then where are we from, Brother Tony? Wow, to think of where we're going to be from. I mean, where we are going to be translated to. We have been made partakers of the divine nature. Where did that divine nature come from? From God the Father, from God the Son, from God the Holy Spirit, from heaven. And you know, that's why we don't fit into the world. When we're really saved and consecrated and sanctified and have gone on to perfection and are growing daily in our walk with the Lord, we desire to be somewhere else, don't we? This world is really not our home. We're not setting down our roots in this world. We have to go to work. We have to go to school. We have to intermingle some with the world, but we don't mesh with the world. Amen. Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's what awaits us, saints. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. It also tells us in 2 Epistle Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Let's stop right there. Remember when I wanted to get my first car, was really wanting to get a car. But you know, I tried to keep that in perspective even today. Your car is going to melt. If Jesus comes back today, your car is going to melt. If somebody backs up in the Walmart parking lot and mashes a dent to it, how are you going to handle that situation? Is your love for your car going to dominate the way you're going to handle that situation? Or are you going to say, you know what, don't worry about it. If the Lord provided the money to fix it, I'll get it fixed. Could you say that? I say, no, give me your insurance papers. You're going to have to pay for this. I want your address. I'm just saying. Amen? Your car is going to melt. Doesn't that put things into perspective? Remember when I first got my car, it was a 2001 Ford Focus that we had, the yellow car. It was just like 1 year and a half old when we bought it. It had like maybe, I don't know how many, very, very little mileage in it. Somebody crashed us. We were going through a neighborhood. And it was like 25 miles per 50 miles per hour. And I was driving and talking to my wife, going to a service. And another man came in a car, and he was looking back, whacking his child in the face and going fast. And he came over right into my side. And I've been trying to go into the sidewalk. And he hit me right on my side. And it was just a small dent. It was part of the fiberglass, and it messed up a little bit in the engine. And you know, this is when we first were going to meet the saints. That was going to be our connection to you guys, to God's people here. It was some saints there in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. I believe the devil caused that so that I could get sidetracked, lose my attitude, and say, we're not going to that meeting. And you know, I said, you know what? He said, here's my driver's license. I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to call my insurance. If you're going to call yours, that's fine. He gave me his driver's license. I said, here's my address. We can talk about it later, I said. I know where you live. We went out to the meeting. Is that normal to do that? No. Why? Because I know that car is going to melt with fervent heat. Your house is going to burn up. Do you prefer to spend time at work so you can buy something for your house to make it more beautiful and miss services? Your house is going to burn up. Oh, we need to remember that this world is not our home. Amen? Am I saying for you not to buy beautiful things for your home? No. I'm glad that you want to make your home look beautiful. But if you're sacrificing your time that you could be reading the Bible in service or helping somebody in need so you can make your house look more beautiful, are you of this world? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the Lord, of the day of the Lord, of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we who are foreigners and strangers, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Are we among the ones that are looking for that new heaven or new earth? Or do we love our house too much? Do we love our job too much to ask for that? Like we're hearing, to have Wednesday off or Tuesday off, Sunday off so we can be in services. But think about it. Here you are, I'm not saying you are, but somebody could be. This message is for somebody. Maybe somebody that listened to it on the internet, I don't know. Are we among the ones that are putting too much emphasis on the things of this world? Our car, our house, our clothing. Amen? My wife and I buy our clothing at a thrift store, and I'm not asking you to do that, just in case you're wondering, well, Brother Tony, you look nice. No, I buy my clothing at thrift stores, whether they're good marks or, you know, whether they're a good brand or not. I don't really look at that. I look at whether it looks good on me and I like it or not. Are we working extra time to buy clothing to look like the world and not reading the Word of God? You know that the Bible says that this word that I have spoken, it shall judge you. Amen? Saints, we have a better world. We have a better country. We have something better. Aren't you thankful? I am. And I just love it when we all sing that song. There is a city. Amen? Is that the way it goes? There is a city. It's going to be a wonderful place. Just to see the face of Jesus when we get there. Is he the love of our life? Is he the one that we're pouring out our affection and time on? Are we reading his text? You know, oh, I've got to read this text in the meeting. I don't care what the pastor's saying. I've got to read it. Oh, may you feel that way about the Word of God. These are God's old-fashioned text to us. He's texted lots of texts to us, emailed to us, and here it is. Are you as anxious to tear open into this email and text as you are your cell phone? May the Lord help us. We're thankful that we're pilgrims and strangers.